From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 11th day of November, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the energy markets. Along the way, we'll get one of our final looks at harvest progress from around the nation. It's Veterans Day, and not all of our regular reports arrive, but we'll hear about conditions in Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota. And I'll peel out the numbers from Iowa, Nebraska, and even Missouri. Hey, and in just 26 minutes, don't forget that meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, that's public radio, from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $5.23 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter. March at 5.44, 3 and a quarter higher as well. And the May contract at 5.58 and three quarters, 3.5 cents higher. From the corn pit in Chicago, nearby contract finished the December down 9 and a quarter today at 3.74 and a quarter. The March at 3.91 and three quarters, down 9 and three quarters. And May corn a dime lower at 4.03 and three quarters. July 4.15, down a dime and a quarter. And December for next year at $4.39, 11 cents lower. December oats unchanged at $2.36. November soybeans, $9.08 today, down 32. January at 9.16, 32 cents lower. The March at 9.24 and a half, down 32 and three quarters. And the May futures in the bean pit down 33 cents at 9.34 and a quarter. July contract 9.42, down 33 cents on the day. And next year's November at $9.37, finished down 37 cents today. From the bean meal pit, nearby contract finished at $2.69.50, but the December at $5.80 lower. December bean oil, $33.73, down $1.65. Live cattle futures at the Mercantile Exchange side of the CME Group, $91.60, down $1.05. February at $92.80, down $1.35. November feeder cattle at $98.20, down 80 cents. January at $97.20, down $1.67.5. And December lean hog futures today settled at $54.97.5, 2.5 cents lower. The February contract at $62.55, down 20 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures are currently trading at $59.30 a barrel, down $3.11. January at $60.15, down $3.12. December ethanol, $1.67 and 2 tenths, down 6 and 5 tenths. And the natural gas at $6.71 and 2 tenths, 53 and 6 tenths lower. RBOB gasoline at $1.30 and 8 tenths, down 5 and 9 tenths. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $1.93 even, down just about 7.5 cents at this hour. December propane is trading today at 76 and 7 tenths of a cent, a penny lower. Gold futures now stand at $732. They're down $13.60 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 173 points lower at 86.95, and the U.S. dollar at 86.93. That is currently trading up 0.95. The CRB index for the afternoon at 253.37 is down 7.89 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight should be cloudy, showers and isolated thunderstorms across Illinois and Indiana. Lows will range from 34 in northeastern Indiana to 44 in the far southern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, cloudy with areas of rain. Highs will range from 40 in northwestern Illinois to 54 in the far south. Tomorrow, the extended forecast, a brief warm-up, some breaks between the showers are likely on Thursday. A cold front should approach Thursday night and push through the two states on Friday. That'll trigger some more showers, a few thunderstorms. Unseasonably cold weather expected to follow that front heading into the weekend. Windy and cold weather expected Friday night through Saturday night. Snow showers and flurries are likely in northern and central portions of the two-state region, along with some lake effect snow squalls in parts of northern Indiana.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Alumnus and graduate from this campus joins us from Indiana this afternoon in Newmarket, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I think, unfortunately, about the most thing we have to talk about is the outside markets, the way that the economy is going, and the fear that GM might not make it and what it's going to do to our demand base if the economy keeps going down. There aren't many new fundamentals in the grain, other than there's still 3.5 million bushel of corn out there yet to be harvested. South Dakota, not even 30% done. It's snowing. It's crummy. And, you know, we got some crummy weather here, but most everybody's down to, you know, a couple, 3 days left in the field if they've got much left. So that's not a big deal. But up in South Dakota, in that area, it is.
Well, is there anything that farmers could, should, can do at this point as they look at the economy, or is it stand aside and watch it all happen?
Well, I think right now, I think that basically most of the farmers are storing everything they have. They're not panicking here what looks to be near a harvest low. I think one of the news wires basically said it's too late to be bearish and it's too early to be bullish. And there's a trading range out there. So basically along the way, I think that we have to wait for a little better opportunity to do more marketing. There are more marketing than they've done already. And we want to sit back and do sort of wait on that. And I think that there's going to be some opportunities come along for some good basis sales into some of these ethanol plants, being this stuff isn't moving or corn isn't moving. And you know, hopefully that this economy can get clicking a little bit better down the road, and maybe we can get a little enthusiasm into the bean market.
Tell me a bit more about that, because it seems to me that there may be some opportunities that arise in the spot market because the bins are so closed down. We're far enough down in the marketplace. I guess we consider these lows. They wouldn't have been prior to 2006.
But would have been real thrillers, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would have been thrillers, but at this point they're not. So
yeah.
So does the producer really need to keep a pretty close eye on anything that's within shipping distance when we might get overs and be able to pull the trigger quickly?
I think that's a very wise idea, Todd, and I think that, you know, we're hearing of different things like that happening at different ethanol plants out there are going to become aggressive because down in these levels, they are going to be able to purchase corn at levels where they can make some money. Remember where we used to be when we thought that was a great big number when ethanol plants were buying 370 calls, saying if they could buy corn 370 to 380, they could still make money back when crude oil was at this price before. So they're willing to buy some grain now and pay some pretty good basis levels for it to get some on hand and keep running. So I think they do want to keep an eye on those things, be ready to ship at a tremendous basis and, you know, make some sales. And then of course, they maybe probably want to replace it with a call or with futures, something like that, if they want to decide to hold it more.
Beyond Verison, are we concerned about the ethanol industry at all?
I think, you know, as long as we keep crude oil around the $60 to $70 level, I think we're okay. Now, if we go under $50, then the ethanol industry could be a little bit shaky as far as being able to pay up for the corn, Todd. But, you know, like I say, I think that we're with their bankruptcy protection, I think we're probably still in pretty good shape on the ethanol plant.
And are you hearing anything interesting about their contracts at this point under their bankruptcy and what the law is allowing them to do?
I have not, Todd, so I'd be talking out of school if I said anything.
Okay. Well, in that case, I was just checking to see whether there's some whispers out there, but I don't think we probably ought to share anything at this point. We'll try to follow up on that and see what really is happening with Verison and some of their contracts. Tell me more about the soybean side of this marketplace. What are you hearing out of South America?
Well, of course, you know, we saw the weather forecast. Drew Lerner stuck out his extended forecaster down there and say it's starting to get dry. They aren't in a drastic situation yet, but to beware and be watching, and that can be a little bit troublesome as far as yields go down there. Of course, the government cut their yields back a little bit that way, but all in all, they're moving along okay. But, you know, we are going to see a little less competition out of South America next year because of the money problems and also because of the dryness.
Anything else that we need to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that, you know, we did take out the October lows in the D's corn today, bounced off them quite nicely, closing about 14 cents higher. So it does look like we did sort of test the bottom of the trading ranges today as far as short-term trading.
Oh, well, maybe I didn't catch that. I was kind of busy getting ready to go to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting starting tomorrow of this week and didn't catch that in the charts. Tell me more about it and what you think it might mean.
Well, I think that just basically we shot down there basically and seemed to bounce off it fairly well. So yeah, we're going to be watching the energy market and the dollar dramatically close, and as long as they don't fall out of bed or rally too hard being in the dollar, why I think that, you know, in this 350 bracket in the corn looks to find some somewhat solid support basis in December.
If you wanted to give a larger trading range for the year, what would you make it?
350
on the bottom side, and
basically 340 to 350, basically in the 350-ish mark, and then I'm going to say the 425, depending on what crude oil does, we could go to 450, but just between now and the end of January, why, that would be my range.
Okay, thanks much.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, that's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joined us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to listen to Wayne again, you can do that right there on our website. We'll post it within a half hour of the end of the program. And you can hear it at WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of WILL Public Radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week. Speaking of it, I won't be here for the rest of the week because I'm traveling to Kansas City for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention and will return on Saturday of this week. Sat down yesterday morning with Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good and had a half-hour discussion. We posted it to the website already, and you can hear it this Saturday as Commodity Week, but you can also go get it now if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our guest this week on Commodity Week is Daryl Good, and it's already posted to the website. Just visit willag.org. Now, up next, you know, nationwide yesterday, USDA said that 71% of the corn had been harvested. That's behind the rolling 88% five-year average and last year, which was 92% harvested. Iowa's numbers look like this. 62% of the corn crop has been put into the bin. Last year, 90%, and that's the same as their rolling five-year average. And Nebraska, 58% harvested at this time. Last year, 89%, the rolling five-year average. For Nebraska at 85%. On the soybeans, not many numbers to report. Nationwide, 93% of the crop has been harvested. That's just about average. 93% on the rolling five-year average and 95% last year. Now, the winter wheat crop, 94% of the crop has been put into the ground, but just 83% of it is out, and that's emerged, of course. That's right on target, really, with the rolling five-year average, which is 84%. Last year was at 80%, but the state of Missouri is way behind, and they raise quite a little bit of wheat. About 50% of their crop has emerged. Usually that number is around 67%. Last year, it was 70%. Now, here are the statisticians from Indiana, Minnesota, and Illinois with updates on their regions.
This is Margie White Cotton reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending November 9th. Temperatures last week averaged nearly 5.6 degrees above normal, making for ideal drying conditions for the state's unharvested corn acreage. Topsoil moisture came in at 4% short, 92% adequate, and 4% surplus, which provided excellent growing conditions for the soft red winter wheat crop. Taking a look at this week's crop progress statistics, corn harvest is at 80% complete compared to last year's 99% complete and 95% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading in harvest progress continues to be the southwestern region for the second week in a row. That district reported 93% complete, while the northwestern region trailed all others at 63%. Soft red winter wheat seedings are at 86% emerged, which is a 22% increase from last week's 64%. Rounding out this week's progress numbers, 64% of the sorghum crop was reported harvested, compared to 99% 1 year ago and 92% normally. This has been Margie Whitecotton, agricultural statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Suzette Qualley with USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report. Minnesota's producers continued to make steady harvest progress this past week, despite widespread rain throughout the state. Corn harvest advanced 21 percentage points during the week ending Sunday, November 9th. Sunflower harvest also continued to progress steadily, and sugar beet harvest neared completion. The average temperature for the week was 45.7 degrees, 11 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, November 7th, were rated 1% very short, 5 short, 67 adequate, and 27% surplus. Statewide, on average, there were 4.7 days suitable for field work during the week. As of Sunday, November 9th, 75% of the corn crop was harvested, compared to 95% last year and 90% average. Sugar beet harvest was at 95% complete, compared to fully complete by this date last year and on average. Sunflower harvest reached 70% complete, compared to 94% last year and 86% average. As of Friday, November 7th, 41% of pasture was rated in good or excellent condition. This has been the weekly crop weather report from USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending November 9th. Field activities and the corn harvest continued at a rapid pace until scattered rain arrived late in the week. Many fields of corn have dried down to acceptable moisture levels to allow the harvest to continue at full swing. Fall tillage and chemical applications followed the harvest as many farmers prepared for the winter. 89% of the corn acreage has been harvested, compared with 95% for last year and 86% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 85% of the corn acreage was harvested in the north, 91% in central Indiana, and 89% in the south. The average moisture content of the harvested corn was reported at 17%. 97% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 98% for last year and 95% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 98% of the soybean acreage was harvested in the north, 97% in central Indiana, and 92% in the south. The average moisture content of the harvested soybeans was averaging about 11%. 98% of the 2009 winter wheat acreage has been planted, compared to 99% for last year and 96% for the five-year average. 89% of the 2009 winter wheat acreage has emerged, compared to 95% for last year and 85% for the five-year average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. The outside markets for the energies are now trading crude oil at $59.33. They're down $3.08 a barrel in the December contract. January down $3.05 at $60.22. The ethanol futures at $1.67.2 are just about 6.5 cents lower for the day. And natural gas at $6.68.5, down 5.6 cents. On the line with us this afternoon to talk about the agricultural energy markets, as we do each and every Monday, is Stephen Platt, or rather Tuesday is Stephen Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services. It's an ADM affiliate in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this energy sector and how you're viewing it at this point, but kind of pressure crude oil is putting on the economy as it slips to the low side, and how the ethanol industry has or has not been hanging in there at this time.
Well, there's some interesting developments here that we've seen take place since I last came on. I think with respect to the oil price here, we've seen a pretty still continued weakness, but getting to that point where the necessary adjustments on the demand side start to maybe provide some support in this $58-$59 area. I'm looking at some stabilization of values and maybe some slight appreciation in values. I'm not looking for a big move, but I do think that this market's probably primed to make some recovery back into the mid-60s.
And would that be, in your opinion, good enough to keep the ethanol plants humming along with $3.54 corn?
Well, I do not. Actually, we've seen some interesting developments on the ethanol. Ethanol's actually gone to a premium to the gasoline. What's that showing is there's adjustments on the ethanol side in terms of production. Does not necessarily mean that all the ethanol plants are going to survive. And in fact, probably seeing some contraction in the industry will make it healthier down the road.
Well, are you supposing that, are we slowing the grind down at this point, or are plants just shutting down? What's happening?
Plants are shutting down because of actions they took back during the summer. And they're paying for them in terms of the credit situation and the like. Those plants that had depended upon those sources of basically funding are the ones getting hurt the most. And I think the stronger plants will remain intact. Brazilian mills are closing down. That's going to tighten up the ethanol situation. And you still need ethanol in terms of our cars. And I think there's a deliberate effort to use ethanol in a much more broader scale down the road. And that in time, you know, the market will come back.
A healthier industry, but how much capacity do you think we might lose?
How much capacity?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one to say. But you might be looking at, you know, as much as 5-10%, something like that.
Well, that wouldn't be too terribly much, and I guess that would put us. Have you figured out some numbers on that? I get you're thinking that'll be.
I'd have to look at it a little bit closer, Todd.
All right, and then what are other things that are happening in the world of energies that you've been keeping an eye on?
Well, certainly the demand side's been worrisome, particularly in the emerging markets. The U.S. is pretty much shaping up as we expected, but the emerging markets is where you need to start to see the stabilization of their demand, and the Chinese stimulus package is heavy on energy, and it will help, I think, support their demand down the road.
How about India?
India probably still has some adjustments to make, but I think their economy will actually stabilize. What we've seen is a general deleveraging within the global economy, which has taken valuations probably down further than what they should have been. But we also paid for it up top, too.
Okay, thanks much.
Thank you.
Stephen
Platt.
Have
a good afternoon.
You too.
Bye.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. It's an ADM affiliate located in Chicago, Illinois. We talk about the agricultural energy markets each and every Tuesday afternoon right here on the Closing Mark Report. And Stephen Platt is one of several analysts. He joins us once a month. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Sunday Day. It's also St. Martin's Day, patron of harvests, horses, and innkeepers. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, chrysanthemums were introduced to England from China. Both the greens and blossoms are edible and are especially popular in Japan, China, and Vietnam. In 1933, the first great dust storm occurred on the Great Plains. A massive drought and decades of farming techniques where the fertile soils of the Great Plains were exposed through the removal of prairie grasses led to clouds of black dust that made the sky appear black all the way to Chicago. In 1938, Mary Mallon died at North Brother Island, New York City. Better known as Typhoid Mary, she was an infamous household cook who was responsible for major outbreaks of typhoid in the New York City area in 1904, 1907, and 1914. Mallon's case showed that a person could be a carrier without showing any outward signs of being sick, and it led to most of the health code laws on the books today. And in 1973, Arturi Virtanen died, a Finnish biochemist. His investigations led to the discovery of the AIV method. He found that cows fed silage preserved with a mixture of hydrochloric and sulfuric acid produced milk the same in taste from that of cows fed on normal fodder and were just as rich in vitamins A and C. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report, I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Hey, good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather for the rest of the week, please.
Well, we've got a weather system that's going to be producing quite a bit of shower activity, especially over the southern areas of the Corn Belt, the lower Ohio Valley, as we make our way into the time frame of Thursday and starting as early as tomorrow night and into Friday. I think the southern and eastern areas are going to see most of the moisture. That would include southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. Rainfall amounts are going to be half inch to inch to half in some of those areas, and that will be followed by some colder air as we get on into the weekend.
Well, colder air as we get on to the weekend. I guess you and I should both be concerned a bit about Kansas City. I believe you're headed to NAFB like I am this week on Wednesday, and I'll be driving in rain. Will it be cold enough for it to turn into anything else? I don't mind rain. I do mind sleet and ice.
I think you'll be okay, although if you're going to be traveling, let's say, as we get into Friday night, Saturday morning, there will be enough cold air that there will be some snow mixing with that rain. Now, between now and early Friday, it'll all be wet.
Oh, so the ride home will be the tough one.
Well, that's
right. That way, I guess I can tell the wife I needed to stay an extra night anyway.
There you go.
All right. Any place else around the globe that we need to check in on?
Well, let's head south of the equator and into South America and take a look at the weather down there. It's going to be an active weather pattern for Brazil as well as some areas of Argentina, but especially Brazil. They're looking at many areas of precipitation that will actually end up being a little bit above normal in terms of amounts of rain. So most of South America, Brazil, and central and northern areas of Argentina look to be a little bit on the wet side. Over on the other side of the southern hemisphere, it's been a bit of an active pattern and actually a little bit of a wet pattern for Australia, and that trend is going to continue bucking that drier trend that they've been in here over the last couple of years. So maybe hopefully they're turning the corner with a little bit more of a wet summer season down south.
Can I bring you back to Argentina just for a bit, and maybe you can tell me about the conditions that the corn crop they've been putting in the ground has had as it started to emerge?
Well, it has. Argentina has been drier, and that trend is going to be continuing, especially in comparison to areas further north into Brazil and the growing areas up there. So they're starting off a little bit lesser than normal in terms of soil moisture in Argentina. Growing conditions there haven't been as good, although we do see a little bit of precipitation there. But there is a soil moisture deficit over most of Argentina right now.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in Kansas City at NAFB. You flying or driving?
We're going to be, well, a little bit of everything, planes, trains, and automobiles, but we'll get there.
No, I'm only taking the automobile, but we'll see you there this week.
Sounds good, sir.
Thanks much, Don.
Bye-bye.
Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He and I will be at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, so I'll be gone the rest of the week. Dave Dickey will handle the duties here on the Closing Mark Report, and don't forget, that means I've already posted Commodity Week with guest University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good to our website. The address is willag.org. You have a good week, and I'll talk to you next Monday. I'm Todd Gleason.